right. Good morning, everyone. I'm Jim Kelly, Chair of the Oregon Board of Forestry. Welcome to the August 24th, 2021 Board of Forestry special meeting. We are live streaming this meeting on YouTube, and to make sure our viewers online can follow along with us today, I'll review some meeting best practices to keep us on track. Board members, please silence cell phones and try to limit any background noise. Please keep your video on for the entire meeting to help us all stay engaged with each other in this virtual environment. I encourage you to speak up if you have any questions and identify yourself for the record, or you can use the raise hand feature and I will call on you. If you experience any technical issues, don't hesitate to use the chat function on Zoom to connect with our ODF support team during the meeting. Today, public testimony will be available for the board discussion on Senate Bill 762 Wildland Urban Interface Definition. After the presentation and board's initial questions, we will ask commenters to join us and to limit their testimony to 3 minutes. Additionally, written testimony can be submitted to the board up until September 3rd, so it can be included with the record. Any questions so far? If not, I will perform a roll call. Carla Chambers?
Here.
Ben Doimling?
Here.
Chandra Ferrari?
Here.
Joe Justice?
Here.
Brenda McComb?
Here.
And obviously I'm here too. Okay. Before we go any further, I think some of you, and maybe all of you, know that there was someone who on the Middle Fork fire yesterday afternoon who died in an accident. And although this firefighter was not involved, it's a tragic event that reminds us all of what's happening out there every day as we have all of these brave souls fighting fires and Oregon. So I would like to just take a moment of silence for us to consider all of that. We could. So today we are meeting to learn about the progress made towards defining the wildland urban interface as directed through the enrollment of Senate Bill 762 by the Oregon legislature. I believe joining us today from the department are Doug Graff and Tim Holschbach. They'll provide us an update, online next steps, and offer the board recommendations to advance this work so we can meet the 100-day deadline. And I believe you're both with us, and I would like to let Doug take over at this moment.
Good morning, Chair Kelly, members of the board. State Forester Hirsch, for the record, my name is Doug Graff. I serve as Chief of Fire Protection for the Department of Forestry. Chair Kelly, I appreciate your pause on the event from last night on the Middle Fork. Thank you for that moment of silence. Today, we have a decision item for the board for consideration relative to one of the several rules advisory committees ongoing. So this is the wildland urban interface definition and public hearing process step in the process to meet our 100-day deadline by law to define the wildland urban interface. And I am joined by Tim Holschbach to provide the details, but I would offer an observation to the board as we engage here. Great appreciation for the board's participation and leadership, which is absolutely necessary on all these fronts for the rules advisory committees, and in particular this one, which kicks off our first timeline and commitment with the passage of 762 legislation. So many thanks for the collaboration and engagement and your leadership to bring us to this point. And I'll turn it to Deputy Chief Tim Holschbach to provide the details of the presentation today. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Chief Graff.
Could the presentation please be shared? Good morning, Chair Kelly, members of the board, State Forester Hirsch. For the record, my name is Tim Hulschbach. I serve as the Deputy Chief of Policy and Planning with the Department of Forestry. Today, we're here to discuss a department recommendation to the board for a definition of the wildland-urban interface and a request to conduct public hearings. Next slide, please. Today, I'll give a quick overview of the requirements of Senate Bill 762 as it pertains to this section of the wildland-urban interface definition. I'll provide an overview of the Rules Advisory Committee process to date. I'll provide the department's recommendation to the board for a definition, as well as next steps in the process. Next slide, please. Senate Bill 762 had three facets as it pertained to the wildland-urban interface. The first facet is it significantly amended ORS 477015 through 064. This was the Forestland Urban Interface Wildfire Protection Act that was instituted in the mid-90s. Second facet was it directed the Board of Forestry to adopt a definition of the wildland-urban interface. And the third is criteria to identify and classify the wildland-urban interface. Today's meeting is focused on the general definition of the wildland-urban interface, as the bill directed that the definition must be adopted by rule within 100 days of the effective date of the bill. Next slide, please. The bill directed consideration for national best practices in the definition of the wildland-urban interface. What you see in front of you is seven nationally recognized definitions of the wildland-urban interface. These definitions have different purposes depending on where they were instituted, as either a framework-based with some formulations for criteria, or educational-based, depending on the purpose of the organization that created the definition. Next slide, please. So with that, a Rules Advisory Committee was formed to help advise the department in making its recommendation to the board for a definition. The Rules Advisory Committee met four times between July 27th through August 17th. We met weekly on Tuesday mornings. The department staff reviewed and presented the seven definitions, as you've seen on the slide previously, with a discussion around the criteria and purpose and intent pertaining to those individual definitions that were consistent with national standards. On August 10th, polling was conducted on three of the definitions that were presented. The polling was conducted on the International WUWI Code, the Oregon Forestland Urban Interface Wildfire Protection Act definition that was modified to take into account statewide applicability, and also a Rules Advisory Committee compiled definition that was built from the terms of all seven of those definitions broken down individually, utilizing the most supported terms. Additionally, due to a clerical error by the department in the identification of the wildland or the International Wildland Urban Interface Code definition, on the August 17th, there was two additional polls done. One on the International WUWI Code definition with the corrected version, as well as with the Federal Register. Over those five polls, no consensus was met by the Rules Advisory Committee on selection of the definition. So however, the International WUWI Code had the highest majority of support among those five polls. Next slide, please. With that, the department's recommendation to the board for this is as follows: that the board adopts the following as the definition of the wildland urban interface, which is the International Wildland Urban Interface Code definition. Wildland urban interface means a geographical area where structures and other human development meets or intermingles with wildland or vegetative fuels. And that the board directs the department to proceed with the public hearing process and return in October with draft rule language for Chapter 629, Division 44, Wildland-Urban Interface Definition. That's the the decision item for today. Next slide, please. If the board chooses to adopt the staff recommendation, the next step in the process is to file the notice of proposed rulemaking along with the fiscal impact statements to the Secretary of State, along with notification to legislators and interested parties of the notice of proposed rulemaking. The public hearings would be scheduled for September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th at various times across those 3 days, morning, afternoon, and an evening hearing. And then the department would be returning back to the board in late October to submit its proposed final rules, along with the public comments and hearing officer's report for final consideration. Along with this, the Rules Advisory Committee itself will be continuing its work in the development of the criteria as directed by Senate Bill 762, and will begin meeting biweekly starting September 7th. With its next sessions getting into that facets of work. Next slide, please. And with that, I'd like to close and just bringing up the staff recommendation again as a decision item for today. Any questions?
Great. Thank you, Tim, and thank you, Doug. I think we will move on to the next step here. I do understand that we have Senator Golden joining us today, and I wanted to welcome him here to our meeting. And if you're ready, Senator, you are on. Is Senator Golden there?
Chair Kelly, Doug Graff here. Is there an administrative glitch? Is he still in the waiting room?
I am here. Thank you.
Okay, great. Go ahead, Senator.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chair Kelly. Thank you very much. I'm on a construction site today. I'm hoping there's not too much background noise. I very much appreciate the opportunity to make a few comments on the issue of WUI definition. And I want to thank the board for getting on the staff so promptly, because there is a whole lot to do before 762 can get implemented on the ground, especially the risk reduction and mitigation piece. I've learned this slowly, that doing this right takes a lot of time. We have really an immense challenge of accomplishing a very complex project with a lot of stakeholders quickly. And it may be in some ways unprecedented, but the wildfires are really focusing our attention on the need to do this promptly. And because you're expediting this, you certainly are not going to be slowing us down. So thank you for that. I wanted to offer just a little bit of context about how we who crafted and advocated for Senate Bill 762 thought about the WUI definition. And to be candid, it didn't occasion a lot of discussion and deliberation. The heart and core of this legislation, and I want this to be more widely understood, is not the WUI, it's the mapping. It's the risk mapping that this bill mandates. All of Oregon will be mapped in one of five categories, as I think you know, one being essentially no wildfire risk, five being the fifth being extreme risk, and just below that, high risk. The bill only applies to lands mapped a high risk and extreme risk. So to the extent, and of course your department in collaboration with OSU is also in charge of the mapping, which it's hard to overstate how important that work is. And that will be due June of next year. And a lot of the bill and the other work hangs on that. And to the extent that all of this about the WUI is about people's concern about how their property or property around their communities might be regulated, it's really the mapping that counts. So that's where we put our attention and where our focus is. So without a lot of concentration or discussion, we adopted what is probably the most common definition among a whole lot of jurisdictions. When I talked to agencies, heads to ask if the definition we had, which is quite general in the original bill, was the most common, they said it probably was, and it is quite general. So we didn't really put much of our attention there. And as the bill progressed through the session, some advocated, and I believe some will advocate to you as well, that the WUI definition be narrowed down. And we chose not to do that. We couldn't accept those suggestions because the proposals we saw, most of them anyway, seemed to have the practical effect of, at least potentially, and the lawyers might argue in court, but there was significant potential that the effect would be to exclude some categories of land from 762, from the whole wildfire program, on the front end, regardless of the risk these lands might pose before the mapping happens, and whatever risk it poses to communities, property, and human life, on the basis of how those lands are used. And specifically, we heard from agricultural interests who seem to have, I saw some social media on this that was pretty inflammatory, I thought, seem to have concerns that this would lead, that definition would or could lead to massive invasions of their croplands. We saw social media message about clear-cutting orchards and uprooting vineyards entirely, unless this WUI definition could get changed. And I thought and still think that concern was substantially overstated, not well-grounded. This is a starting place, this WUI definition, that builds a structure for the mapping. And at a number of critical points along the way, the kinds of issues that raise concern among people will be deliberated among stakeholders, people with a major stake in the outcomes. And two of the most important places for that input are the fire marshal's process. By law, she has to do an extensive public hearing and stakeholder process before adopting final rules on defensible space. And the other kind of the main implementing and course correcting vehicle in this bill is the Wildfire Programs Advisory Council, a 19-member group that is being appointed right now. And by statute, it has representation of the farming community, the ranching community, the real estate community, county and city government, and others. And you can bet among the many things that they'll be discussing and deliberating along the way is specifically how ag lands need to be addressed in our wildfire program. For, you know, we start with the reality that very, very few, if any, ag lands, cultivated lands, will be mapped as extreme risk because its characteristics and topography and moisture content is very different from extreme risk land. You know, might some end up in high risk? I don't know. It's certainly possible. But these groups will be talking about, with a very high level of awareness about the vital importance of agriculture to our economy, to communities, to families, to the state of Oregon. And I can imagine, you know, any number of things they might be proposing and coming up with to enhance the defensible space standards. Do, you know, are farming interests compensated for any loss of crops? What kind of secondary review is there? There is plenty built into this bill to fine-tune and address those concerns. So I guess I would say, without wanting to take too much more time, what's important, I'm not wedded to the exact language we had in the original bill for the WUI definition or any other particular formulation. What I think is essential is that we not, with that definition, create a situation where a particularly piece of property or the edges of a piece of farmland that's situated in a certain way and you know, isn't getting irrigated and, you know, poses a threat to buildings, that we categorically say, or box ourselves in with a WUI definition that says, sorry, we can't, no matter how high risk this might be to a nearby community, we just can't regulate it because of what we have for the definition. I would urge you to keep it pretty general and allow the map making to take place and allow these groups of well-represented stakeholders to fill in the fine details. And that's really what we want to do. This is about risk. This is about mitigation of risk. And the determining factor should not be how a piece of property is used. It should be on a scientific basis, the degree of risk it poses to communities, to human life, to property, and to Oregon. So let me stop there with just finally a vote of huge thanks to the Department of Forestry for their work this fire season. I live in one of the more flammable parts of the state. I know how many lightning fires have started. I know how very few have grown into conflagrations, into large, serious damaging fires. I think that's the direct work of the result of the dedication and good planning and pre-positioning and professionalism of the department and its partners. And I'm very grateful for what they've done this season.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. We really appreciate you taking the time to give us that background.
I appreciate your allowing me to, and I'm available anytime during your process for questions or conversation. Thank you.
Okay. We appreciate that too. Hillary, are we ready to move on to the public testimony?
Yes, Chair Kelly, we have 4 members signed up today and ready to engage.
Great. Okay, all. I appreciate your taking time to share your comments with the board today. We ask that everyone in the Zoom queue to not exceed their allotted time. And before you begin, to state your full name and associated affiliation, if representing a group or organization. A timer will be provided to track your time, and each commenter will be called on by the board administrator. With limited time available, anyone who exceeds their time will be prompted to provide a closing statement. Hillary, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. Everyone in the queue, I will list your names in a set order and call on each of you to begin your testimony to ensure we stay on track. You'll be unmuted for your comment portion and muted upon conclusion. When you begin, a timer will be displayed for a duration of 3 minutes. As the clock times out, we just ask that you provide your closing comments. So I'm going to go ahead and put that order out there. We'll have first up is Ms. Lynch, second up, Ms. Astor, third is Mr. Williams, and fourth is Ms. Cooper. So I will prompt you right before you begin. Let me share my time for 1 moment. First up, Ms. Peggy Lynch.
Good morning, members of the board, Forrester Hirsch, and ODS staff. Excuse me. My name is Peggy Lynch. I'm with the League of Women Voters of Oregon. We have members all around the state, homeowners in urban and rural Oregon, business owners, farmers and ranchers, small woodlands owners. We had members who were affected by the 2020 Labor Day fires. We support the ODF recommendation and look forward to the continuing work to clearly set the criteria around which the definition will be applied in Oregon. We agree that the fiscal impact statement that is needed so that the Secretary of State can send the definition around and that the next round of rulemaking by many agencies will be more clearly help determine any potential positive or negative impacts of specific regulations that may come from future rulemaking. Now is the time to begin this process using a foundational WUI definition. On a personal note, I have lived in Oregon all my life. Timber put food on my table and a roof over my head. And I have friends and relatives all over Oregon. The Quist Fire near Oak Ridge had an 83-year-old uncle and an 89-year-old brother-in-law and a lot of younger relatives getting ready to leave their home this year. Wildland firefighters and OSFM staff have worked heroically to help this town of 2,500. The loss of the young firefighter in the Gates fire breaks my heart. But 762 provides us a path forward so that we have fewer disasters and or at least will be more prepared for the what climate change and drought have brought. So again, we support ODF's recommendation and we look forward to the public hearing process that will begin soon. Thank you very much and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Next up we have is Amanda Astor.
All right. Good morning, Chair Kelly, Acting State Forester Hirsch, and members of the board. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss AOL's disdain for the department's proposed wildland urban interface definition. My name is Amanda Astor. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I am the Forest Policy Manager at AOL. Forest contractors are a workforce that complete commercial work, non-commercial work, road maintenance, and much more on all of the lands of the state. During the first RAC 1 meeting, AOL stated that our main goals of the RAC 1 process were, one, a fair rulemaking that results in a holistic fiscal analysis with changes made if negative impacts are determined, and two, a clear definition that results in clear boundaries and scope of work between OSFM and ODF. I want to remind the board that the Oregon State Fire Marshal received $25 million for the Community Risk Reduction Fund, separate from the general fund, to carry out community risk reduction and local government financial assistance, specifically in the WUI. The Oregon Department of Forestry received nearly $36 million in general funds to design and implement a program to reduce wildfire risk through the restoration of landscape resiliency by identifying strategic landscapes that are ready for treatment and a 20-year strategic plan. Landscape resiliency work completed by ODF should be focused on landscapes in the wildland outside of specific interfaces. This is the work that AOL's members need to ensure their businesses are viable and that critical heavy equipment can remain as persistent assets and partners to the department during wildfire incidents across the state. This key scope of work differentiation between OSFM and ODF can be made clear or extremely muddy by how WUI is defined by this board. It is AOL's opinion that a broad definition of WUI as proposed by ODF currently does not help to focus the finite resources that ODF has to carry out and implement sections 18 through 20 of Senate Bill 762, nor does it help focus OSFM's responsibility to adequately focus their finite resources on enforcement of the regulatory requirements of this regulatory definition. Because this board is acutely aware of the financial woes and capacity issues of ODF, we believe it is in the best interest of the park department to move forward with a more focused definition. This could look like, and I quote, the wildland urban interface is the geographic area where a concentration of dwellings meets unmanaged wildland fuels. Perhaps the criteria development will significantly focus the mapped WUI, but this is yet to be seen. We ask that at the very least, the board seeks clear language in Division 44 to show this intent. Thank you, and I am available for any questions.
Up next, Kyle Williams.
Morning, Chair Kelly, State Forester Hirsch, and members of the board. For the record, my name is Kyle Williams, and I'm the Director of Forest Protection for the Oregon Forest and Industries Council, trade association representing large timberland owners and wood products manufacturers from a broad array of communities around the state. I'm also a member of the WUI Definition Rule Advisory Committee. This won't surprise any of you, but our members have more than just a passing interest in Oregon's wildfire protection system. Many of them spend hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars preparing, training, and investing in the resources that answer the call when Oregon's communities are threatened. They provide people, knowledge of the ground, and the heavy equipment it takes to fight the fires that have become increasingly more common and are always on the front lines when fires threaten lands protected by ODF, even when those fires may only be burning on federal lands. But OFIC's member interest extends beyond just the firefight. When it comes to this conversation about the WUI, we are talking about protecting the towns and people who are our employees and neighbors. We know these communities, and in the same way we respond to the fires, we want to deliver a result that contributes to a safer and more resilient landscape, protects our ability to grow, harvest, and maintain healthy forests, and creates a positive outcome for Oregon. I understand that the staff report, as well as the majority of the members of the RAC, are recommending adoption of the International WWE Code definition. The justification for this verbiage has been communicated as providing for a broad framework by which to work under. I actually see that from the other side of the same argument. It provides such a broad playing field that triggering unintended consequences and overreaching in scope will be very real potential outcomes. Oregon needs a more resilient wildland-urban interface, but in order to get there, we need buy-in from real Oregonians who will be forced to comply with any future regulations resulting from this work. We've seen past efforts in this space fail because local jurisdictions, governments, and citizens refuse to adopt the hardening and clearing stipulations. We are now adding potential zoning, siting, and likely a series of other as yet undetermined implications, some of which admittedly may be positive. The simple fact is not narrowing down the definition to focus on concentration of structures and leaving the broad category of human development in our definition leaves the door open for well-intended overreach. I can speak from personal experience that standing on someone's porch and simply educating them about the fire risk from their choice of lawn care can be a harrowing endeavor. We are about to embark on a future that tells that person what their choice of lawn care will be. Please don't underestimate how important a thoughtful and focused approach will be as we try to turn the ship in the right direction. We've been told the next step to the process will further refine and, more importantly, actually define the words and their meaning. I look forward to those conversations and appreciate the ODF staff affirming the intent is indeed to narrow the scope of this definition through future criteria. Thank you very much for the time today.
Last is Mary Ann Cooper.
Good afternoon, Chair Kelly and members of the board. My name is Mary Ann Cooper, and I am the Vice President of Public Policy for the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today. I want to start by prefacing my comment with I was not the person that negotiated Senate Bill 762 for the Oregon Farm Bureau. Our staff that had worked on that has subsequently left. But I was involved in the negotiations at the end of the session around this bill. And we just want to say on the record that the bill did not have the votes to pass with the definition of WWE that is now proposed to be in the rules. And that is why the rulemaking was pushed to the Department of Forestry and several folks conditioned their yes vote on a robust process for the WWE designation, definition, and the criteria development. And unfortunately, I think we somewhat ran out of space for the conversations in the RAC to agree on a narrower definition of the WWE. And just want to spend a little time on why the ag community is concerned about a broad definition. We absolutely appreciate the intent and the stated clarity that we do intend to further define the WWE so that things like irrigation infrastructure, fences, trails would not be considered part of the WWE. Our concern is we have seen several times in similar contexts, broad definitions get subsequently narrowed through practice, through the way that things have always been done. And then 10 or 15 years later, through a lawsuit from an environmental group or otherwise, the broad application then comes back and often impacts our members. A recent example, if anyone has been following the FEMA floodplain management and the definition of development that FEMA uses to require local communities to regulate within the floodplain, that originally just applied to building permits. But because of the broad definition is now being expanded out to potentially apply to many agricultural structures. And so we have had a history of seeing broad definitions that were promised to be narrowed through future processes, have that not occur in a way that captures what we think the intent of the legislation and of the program is. I would absolutely agree with Ms. Astor that we think narrowing in the definition of WWE will help us focus both our resources and our regulatory enforcement and regulatory work on areas where removal of vegetation and hardening standards will actually make a difference in reducing fire risk for communities. And until we see that narrowing, our folks are just going to remain incredibly concerned about a broad definition that down the road could be used to require removal of crops, expensive building standards for homes that are located out in totally rural areas, and just other applications that don't sound like anybody's shared intent at this point. So with that, I appreciate the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
All testimony providers, you're welcome to stay in the Zoom meeting. However, we ask that you just remain muted for the remainder of this item unless called upon. Thank you so much for joining us. And we turn it back to you, Chair Kelly, and members of the board. This concludes our public testimony portion.
Okay, thank you to all of those who commented, and thank you, Hillary. The next step here is for the board to be able to have some discussion and comments. I did want to bring to the other board members' attention the fact that we received additional written testimony just really minutes before this board, in support of the narrowing of the definition. But I would like to mention, because I assume that I was just able to glance through some of this, and so I suspect most of our board members have not had a chance to thoroughly read that testimony. There was a letter from the Fire Chiefs Association encouraging us to adopt the international definition. There was also a letter from Speaker Kotek and I believe two other legislators. Basically, what in my quick read of it, making several points, but chief among them was that that basically they had heard that it had been claimed, and I did as well, that that really the legislature had rejected the international definition. And the legislators were making the argument that clearly they did not reject the international definition. The choice to give it to us was there were disagreements, and this was a way they could work out a compromise. In fact, I think the claim was that there was only one legislator specifically voicing an opinion against this definition. So I thought I should mention that since we had so little time. So let's open it up for discussion. Are there any board members who are ready to go?
Chair Kelly, this is Carla Chambers. I'd like to start with Senator Goldman's comments, as I think they're spot on. This is all about risk. And being a farmer and coming from Sherman County, where we 2-3 years ago lost 80 some thousand acres of wheat in 2.5 days, not because the fire started on the wheat, but because the fire started on BLM, where there were unmitigated fuels. It comes down to if you're in the WUI definition and you're a wheat grower, how is that going to impact you when the real targeted focus of mitigation and fuels control may need to be on your neighbor? And so I think that's a really good point, is it depends on, it's not the ag land in that case that was a high risk, it was the BLM land that was the high risk. And I think what the ag and the timber folks are telling us today, and I certainly understand and agree, is where is that risk and how do we target the 90-10 of really making sure we're mitigating the risk, and that is going to come down to mapping. I think the other thing I would hope we would, you know, keep in mind is the Governor's Wildfire Council recommended 5.7 million high-risk acres be mitigated over a 20-year period at $4 billion. Right now, the resources are considerably available, are considerably underneath that. And so that target and focus to get at those high-risk acres is going to be essential. And I think finally, you know, I reached out to the five no votes, the groups, and many of them testified today. And I think what they're asking is pretty reasonable of if this, you know, having very broad, lots of new regulation or abundant regulation that doesn't hit the target could be very costly to all of us. And I think what they're really genuinely asking us to do is to keep the door open to come in and revisit this definition if this process runs off the railroad track. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. I think Chandra, you had your hand up there.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Kelly. For the record, we're member Ferrari. So I guess I just had a couple questions maybe for the department. I really appreciate all the work that's gone into this conversation, and clearly meeting four times in the span of a couple weeks is a heavy lift for all the stakeholders who are involved in this and for the department staff. And this is a very critical conversation to be having. But that kind of time frame is not necessarily conducive, I think, to resolving all disagreements. And clearly, it wasn't enough time to reach consensus on a definition. So I am sensitive to the fact that there are still concerns out there about this definition and about the assurances that there are going to be continued meaningful conversations on some of them, hashing out some of the details and how this definition is also going to be used moving forward. So my first question is, number one, it seemed like the relevant piece of information that we needed to make sure this definition did, according to statute, was to be consistent with the national best practices. It looked like this was a definition that has been utilized broadly nationwide. I'm curious about its applicability in other states and how they're using it. It sounded like that was a topic of conversation that came up in the discussions, and there were some inconsistencies I saw in the, excuse me, because I'm reading the meeting transcripts and trying to hash out how this definition is being used and how widely applicable it is. It seemed like that criteria has been met, but I just wanted to have a little clarity there. And then secondly, from what I'm hearing from stakeholders, again, on this next step of the process, is potentially wanting some commitment from this board that our intention in the subsequent stage of the rulemaking is to be, looking at clarifying some of the terms within the definition that we're approving today. And so I'm interested in the department's recommendation to that point and whether that is what format that could take today, our clarity on that.
Thank you, board member.
Yeah, I'm just going to get you in there, Tim. Thank you.
Apologies for that, Chair Kelly. For the record, this is Tim Hilschbach, Deputy Chief of Policy and Planning. That's a great question. And with that, the definition itself is more of a, it's hard to phrase it as a definition. However, it is consistent with what is instituted in the Western United States. Most states west of the Mississippi utilize the International WUI Code definition as its as what its framework for basis of defensible space identification of the WUI. So it is consistent across the Western United States, which is one of the reasons why the department recommended this as its recommendation. It also provides a framework to allow for that flexibility to make sure that it's applicable as the criteria is developed, and part of the criteria is defining what human development is, what structures are. So as those terms are defined through the criteria, it allows the department to be able to draw the lines on the map to be able to identify specific properties that would be in or out of the wildland-urban interface. Whereas some of the other definitions that were considered came with prescriptive criteria associated with them already. So we recommended this one as it allows us to the Rules Advisory Committee to further consider criteria to make sure it's applicable and effective for the state of Oregon.
Thank you, Tim. So I guess just my follow-up question for my second point is, I'm curious as to the subsequent stage of this rulemaking. Is this same RAC, the same group that's going to be participating in that phase two, that's going to be further considering defining the subcomponents of this definition? And then is this something that the department today is recommending that the board endorse to, or provide some additional assurance that that is a level of detail that's going to be tackled in the next stages?
Yes, this is the same group will be proceeding with the criteria for continuity.
Thank you.
Other board member comments? Okay, hearing none, I'll make a few comments myself. Having been in these committee member meetings, I've been impressed by, you know, everyone there, and I think we've got committee members universally of goodwill, and I have quite a bit of trust that as they do the work on the mapping and they do the work on the criteria, that they will do a good job, and some of the concerns will hopefully not turn out to be that big a deal. You know, I'm a member of the Farm Bureau, and so I would be directly impacted on our ranch if some of the things happen that have been claimed might happen under this definition, and such as if there's an outhouse there, that would be defined as a structure, or fences. So if we got to the point where we kind of ended up with rather ridiculous results, like the rock jacks on my ranch being considered structures, I don't think we're going to get there. But if we did, as a board can come back and reconsider what we will decide today. I doubt that will be necessary. I very much doubt that will be necessary. And again, I'm pretty trusting here, both in the department and in what I see in these, the people that I see in these committees. So I feel like, you know, for myself, I think this is the right direction for us to go at the right time. It has been a rush process, and I think that's left some people bruised. But again, I just, you know, from my perspective, want to assure those people that have been frustrated and not liking this broad definition that that we will be. This is not the end of the process, We will all work together to get a reasonable and good result. Any other thoughts and comments? If not, then I would like to seek a motion on the proposed recommendations. These recommendations are twofold. The first action is adopt following as a definition of the wildland urban interface. Quote, wildland urban interface means a geographical area where structures and other human development meets or intermingles with wildland or vegetative fuels. The second action is direct the department to proceed with the public hearing process and return in October 2021 with draft rule language for Chapter 629, Division 44. Wildland urban interface definition. So I am asking, is there anyone who would like to make a motion?
Chair Kelly, this is Carla Chambers. I would like to make a motion to adopt this definition and the rulemaking, along with the caveat that this board is willing to come back and re-challenge this definition if we're not meeting the mark and addressing those that are concerned today. And just a side comment, you know, agriculture and forestry and OFIC and Farm Bureau and the counties are so essential to the success of this mitigation that I just want to be sure we are all on board and working together as we deal with you know, the challenges, the significant challenges we have ahead. So I would make that motion with that caveat.
I would second Carla's motion along with that caveat too, Carla. I appreciate that concern, and I would echo that, that we make sure that if in fact this gets deflected in some way and too broad, that we are willing to come back and rediscuss this definition.
You know, I'll say that I can support that. I would want to make a clear statement as we go forward that, in my view, no class of property, no single large class such as agriculture, farms, and ranches should be excluded, which is why I would not be able to today, or I think in the future, support one that just a definition that was just a cluster of structures, because that completely would completely negate this dealing in any way with any ranch or farmlands or the majority, I would suppose. So I can support that as long as I just want to make sure that that's my view of what. But if I saw this whole process really going sideways in the criteria work and in the mapping work, I would revisit the definition as long as it did not wholly exclude a major class of properties in the state. Are we, so we have
I think Brenda was trying to raise her hand. I've been having a hard time getting my hand raised in Zoom.
Thank you, Joe. I can't find the hand raise option here. So for the record, Brenda McComb. Jim, a point of clarity. In spirit, I support Carla's statement. But it seems like we're conflating two different things here. One is the motion to adopt the international rule. The other is then to come back at some later date should there be an issue. And I'm wondering if those two things should be separated somehow.
Yeah, Brenda, I as I understood it from Tim and in the discussions in the meetings, that we could come back regardless of whether we put it into this motion. I think the addition of any language that we might come back really is legally, I believe, correct me, meaningless. We can do that if we chose to, as I understand it. So, I guess I would be supportive that unless you can lay out an idea of how to separate that into two motions, I'm open to that. And I don't know what other board members would think.
Well, I guess maybe in response, Jim. So this is the first step toward mapping, right? And the mapping can only occur after there's a definition for the WUI, which is why we're here today. So I think we need to have the motion regarding the definition of the WUI and vote on it and make that decision. And then once that definition is put into application in terms of mapping, if we see things going in a direction that is not good, then we need to have the opportunity to come back and have that discussion.
Okay, Chandra, you've got your hand up.
For the record, Chandra Ferrari. So I kind of agree with all the threads that are going on here. I do think approving the definition makes sense. And then it seemed to me that the other stakeholders were seeking some level of intent for phase two of this process. And that's what I wasn't quite as sure how we provide, but I think they're, you know, clearly we are seeking to establish criteria. And it sounded to me from the department staff that we are seeking to provide more clarity as to what some of the terms in the original definition would mean. And that is our intent, that we are going to get more specific in the second phase. And then generally speaking, I think it's always our role to be evaluating how well our rules are working at achieving the objectives we've set. So not just in this process, but in every process, I would think and hope that we're going to be looking at whether or not we're all meeting our, you know, mutual goals and how well and how effective we are at crafting these rules. So I support that language, but I want to make it really clear that I always support that. Like I always think we should be evaluating the effectiveness of what we're doing and seeking changes if needed.
Certainly. Ben Däumling, you have your hand up.
Yes, I just wanted to weigh in as well. And I like the definition that we have. I like the opportunities that it gives us to go where we need to go. But I am in complete agreement with, I think most everybody who testified that I don't want to see this go off the rails. I don't think it will. I don't see why it would. But I think looking at it through the lens of risk is really important. And so, but I think we have already built into the process, the board is going to be reviewing this and voting on this a couple more times over the next year. So I think that is already, to a large extent, built into the process. Then that process really is what comes after this definition. So, I just wanted to acknowledge that there's a lot of room for us still to be involved with this.
Okay. Any other comments at this point? I get, we have a motion on the table and a second, and there's been, Brenda, you've expressed some discomfort with the way it is structured. Are you supportive if we just move this to a vote?
Thanks, Jim. Brenda McComb for the record. I guess it would be more comfortable if the caveat were retracted and this were a clean vote on the definition, with the understanding that we all have that we're going to come back to this at some point in the future and vote on it again. There'll be many opportunities for considering some of these concerns going forward. So I don't think the caveat is necessary at this point.
Right. I agree that I don't think the caveat is necessary. On the other hand, I think we do need this process to move ahead in a healthy and collaborative way, and it might be nice for us to signal that we are listening to those folks who are not very happy with where this has gone. I will suggest perhaps that we might, and I'll go back to the person who made this motion, and Joe who seconded it. Would you be willing to take that motion back, do two separate votes, one on the clean endorsement, and then a second one regarding the caveat?
Yeah. Chair Kelly, this is Carla Chambers. I'm willing to pull that motion back and put it in the form of two motions. The first is that we accept this international definition of WUI. And the second motion would be a statement of intent that this board of directors will absolutely come back in and revisit this definition if for any reason this process derails.
Okay, wonderful. Do I have a second to the, I think, why don't we do them one at a time, just for Robert's Rules of Orders. And so we have a motion then to adopt the international WUI definition and direct the department to proceed with the hearing process. Do we have a second on that?
I'll second that, Chair Kelly.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, in that case, I will poll the board, and I will call out each of your names. Carla Chambers.
Aye.
Ben Däumling.
Aye.
Chandra Ferrari.
Aye.
Joe Justice.
Aye.
Brenda McComb.
Aye.
And I, Jim Kelly, also am an I. So then, Carla, will you make your second motion again?
Yes, my second motion is a statement of intent that the Board of Forestry will absolutely come in and revisit this definition if for any reason this process derails.
Perfect. Do we have a second?
Can I have a friendly amendment, or not amendment, but just some clarity on that, Carla? That we will come back and revisit if the subsequent stages of the process, right, don't produce the needed clarity to make sure that we are meeting the goals, right? I mean, that's when I would like to come back and revisit. It seems like we have several steps in which we're anticipating more discussion and dialogue and clarity, right? And if we're finding that doesn't produce what's needed to meet the goals of this program and the intent of the statute, then we would come back. Sorry, that's more verbiage, but.
Carla, is that helpful?
Well, you know, I think what the natural resource community is telling us is too broad of overreach, substantial regulation that isn't targeted at really dealing with our 90-10 focus problem. We don't want to end up with overreaching regulation that doesn't really solve and target the problem. So I don't know that we're saying the same thing. I think it's going to be downstream how these definitions ferret out is really where the rubber hits the road. And we are just all guessing at this point because we don't know. So I think we just basically what I am in this second motion is wanting a statement of intent that we will revisit this definition if we find we're not hitting the mark in that focus.
Right. Well, and I think I was kind of saying the same thing. I'm just trying to provide a little more clarity that I want to allow the another phases to play out, right? Because we are in test. We're seeing a funneling effect to some extent, and we all have these mutual goals that we're trying to meet, and we want to meet the intent of the statute. And if we're realizing that that process is not working, right, as intended, then we'll come back. We're going to let it play. We're going to let it play for a little bit because we think there's a process in place that will do this. Right. I mean, that's all of our collective understanding right now.
It's good faith.
Carla, I think your second statement there was pretty general language. And I suspect the way you just stated it would be pretty agreeable since it would kind of cover any concern that any members of the board as a whole will have if we are unhappy down the road. That makes sense to everyone? And if so, I would ask for a second on that motion. Brenda.
Carla, first of all, thank you for agreeing to create two motions here. I appreciate that. But Carla, could you restate the motion again? With all the discussion, I'm sorry, I'm not clear on what it is.
Okay. So the second motion is a statement of intent by the Board of Forestry that we will come back in and revisit this definition if for any reason this process, as we narrow it down and funnel it in, does not meet the targeted focus that we are intending. I don't know that I think I said that better the last time, so you might help me out there a bit.
Yeah, thank you, Carla.
Luckily, we have someone who reviews these recordings and that's after the fact, and when they put it into writing. Do we have a second for that?
I will second that, Chair Kelly.
You can call me Jim, Joe.
I'll second that, Jim.
Okay. In that case, we have a second motion that has been seconded. And so I'm going to do a roll call here. Carla Chambers?
Aye.
Ben Doimling?
Aye.
Chandra Ferrari?
Aye.
Joe Justice?
Aye.
Brenda McComb?
Aye.
And myself as well, Edmund and I. Okay, so we have we've passed two different motions and actions, and those have both been in full consensus of the board, so both of those motions are carried. All right. Just thinking about any closing thoughts here before we end this meeting. One thing that I would like to say that having listened in to the advisory committee meetings, I've been impressed by all the people and the fact that everyone has been respectful. I've been real impressed by Tim and our ODF staff who have managed a difficult and a very rushed process on this WUI definition. And they've just, I think, done a stellar job. And I really want to express our appreciation of the work. We will have more on all of this on September 8th. Anything else any more board members or staff would like to add?
Chair Kelly, I would just add just our deepest thoughts, you know, to the family of this firefighter. And I would just encourage all of my fellow board members, if they have the time and the opportunity to go out on one of these large fires, to be sure and do that. I did that last Friday, a week ago Friday. And I'm just so glad that I did and went through that fire camp and saw the Sky Ridge Complex fire. And I just really encourage all of us to do that, you know, as soon as we possibly can. I just think it gives us such a deep understanding of the biggest part of the budget of the Oregon Department of Forestry and really the risk that so many of our people take on. So thoughts to this family.
I totally agree. Any other closing thoughts? Okay. Well, again, thanks to department staff, the advisory committees, and for everyone who's been involved in putting this together in short order. And thank you, fellow board members, for your work on this, and to everyone else who participated online. So at that point, we're done. Everyone, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.